super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Okay, we have a special guest on the Grindhouse tonight. First time out, good friend of mine, great director. He has a company called Happy Cloud Pictures with his wife, Amy Lynn Best.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Anyone who said we wouldn't last, there you go. We've lasted this long.
Yeah, I always love that when they say, you're not going to last. Oh, 42nd Street Pete, shit gimmick, never going to make it. This never going to make it. That never going to make it. Hey, we're still here, dude, you know?
We always found that the people who squawk the loudest are the ones that disappear first. So it's
yeah,
the ones
you notice
that.
Say,
hey, we're going to teach you all about horror. It's like, oh, okay, well, nice knowing you.
Yeah, see ya. Yeah. Well, you know, on that note, I have to say, Mike, you guys have been around a long time, and I think part of the reason you've been around a long time is precisely your love of the genre and the fact that you guys are really decent, hardworking, good people. I mean, it's you wear your heart on your sleeve. It shows, man.
Thank you. You're ruining my rep as a bastard, but I do appreciate the compliment.
We'll try to fix it during the rest of the show.
Well, you outlived me. You started doing this when you were a kid.
Yeah, 88,
you've been,
something
I mean,
like
you've
that.
Been, you were famous when I was first getting started. it was the zombie Holocaust films, I believe.
The infamous, I think, maybe.
Zombie Bloodbath Trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we're all, we should all tip one back to the greatness of each other.
That's right.
All right, I'll go for that. I'm drinking iced tea because I just smoked the bone, so I'm cool, you know?
My connection dried up. It's terrible. I can get meth anytime I want, but I can't get weed out here.
Oh, how did that help your back when I took care of that?
Oh God, you are a fine, gentle soul. You are the finest gentleman I've ever met. And
bless you, my son. You can get me hammered. Well, it ain't going to take much to get me hammered at Wasteland, but you can contribute to that cause if you wish.
Oh sure, yeah. Actually, you should have a tip jar this year.
You're right.
Actually, instead of a chip jar, have like a gallon jug. People can just pour beer and alcohol into this jug, and by the end of the night, you drink whatever's in there.
No, I almost brought back something from the 70s. I'm going to ruin the day, but I brought back that silver bullet concoction I was telling you about. Yeah. Or did I tell you about that? I told you about that, right? Two shots of tequila to one shot of white... two shots of tequila to one shot of white cream de menthe on the rocks.
Yeah, I'm not drinking that.
I know. I'm kicking it around. I don't know. I got till October to make up my mind, which is a good thing, because maybe somebody will talk some sense into me.
Well, but you're talking about Wasteland. I mean, everyone's just wanting to see you do it. So I'd make a decision one way or another and then make your peace with the afterlife beforehand.
I have a tentative offer as entertainment director in hell, so... We were working this whole angle about selling my soul for some film or something, but I was offered the entertainment director's job, and for some reason, he really didn't want my soul, he said. He sort of cringed when I brought that up.
No, it's gushing more oil than the Gulf right now. I mean, it's really... I mean, I love your soul, but it's worthless real estate.
Yeah, I know.
You haven't kept real good care of it.
And you know something? Considering I've outlived about 35 people I hung out with, I'm just saying I'm fucking doing all right about now, you know?
That just means that God and Satan aren't done kicking you around yet.
Yeah, I know, and I said many years ago, those days of drinking a fifth of tequila a night and driving home 90 miles an hour are gone, you know? memories, but...
See, Todd, there's another reason I think you and I have been around as long as we have, because we don't do that.
I'm such a nerd, man. I've never done anything. I'm just
Todd doesn't do shit. Todd gets like a contact high.
That's the truth.
See, that's always what's disturbing is the people who make the most fucked up movies who don't get fucked up.
Yeah, you notice that, you know?
Yeah. Like Andy Kaufman's straight as hell, and his movies make me want to crawl under a couch.
Yeah, I know. You know, and you figure, like, you know, when I first met some of these guys, I was like, okay, they got to be as weed heads just like me. And they're like, oh, no, we don't do that, you know. Do you have any, what the hell is that, fucking Poland Spring or some shit water, you know, whatever.
Perrier.
Oh, yeah, Perrier. Like yeah.
Okay. Mount Fuji. I like the Mount Fuji water. That's good.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that all this bottled water comes out of the same tap.
Yeah, I know. That's what kills me. It's like my mother drinks that Avion shit, and I put a filter on the tap already. It's the same shit. You know, it's taking out all the lead and, you know, whatever else is in there, you know, fish heads and shrimp.
With people from New York, isn't that stuff keeping you alive? I would think that it's preserving you well.
Yeah, but you're by 3 Mile Island. I think the radiation's affecting, you know, what you do, too, sometimes.
Well, oddly, actually, I'm not that close to 3 Mile Island. I'm closer to West Virginia. Actually, if I hold the phone up, you might be able to hear the banjos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Squeal! I hear it's a nice place.
It's a very nice place. The nice thing about it right now is I can look out my window and not see another human being.
Yeah, I sort of miss that myself. Yeah.
So what's the purpose of this thing? What are we doing? Is this we just going to shoot the shit for an hour? Or?
We started that way, but I figure you'd want to talk a little, you know, because I reviewed the Resurrection game when it first came out, and I really liked it. And
I appreciate that. And you're a fine spokesman on the 10-year documentary of it, too.
Oh, thank
you. Actually, at this point, I'm more proud of the little 45-minute doc than I am the movie, simply because I've been working on this damn thing for so long.
Yeah.
Have you ever subject yourself to this thing?
No, I wanted to see it. I haven't got a chance to see it yet. I've been looking for it up at Hastings. I figured it'd show up there, but it hasn't popped in yet.
That way, actually, we're... this is the curse of this movie, is, you know, we had a wholesaler ready and willing to go just as it went in the press, and as soon as it went out of the press, he got bought out by another company that no longer handles outside product. So now we're back to square one, trying to find someone who will handle it to Amazon and Netflix, which we found, but it was another couple of weeks of getting on the phone and squawking and telling people, look, you know, it's been bootlegged all over the world. Somebody's going to buy it. It's going to cost you a lot to put out. So, but that's the thing. We shot on film 10 years ago, and we've just been bashing it into shape since then. And I finally went back to the original negative and remastered it. And it was just... movie's hell. It's just absolute hell. A lot of people seem to like it. I want to take it out back and shoot it, personally. But...
well, at this point, it's a hard thing whenever you're pouring yourself into something for that long, man. So, you know, you're definitely not going to look at it the same way someone who's never seen it will, for sure. But, you know, the thing is, you've got it going on, now you've got a wholesaler, so now I got to go back to Hastings and look again.
I'm never going to look at it again. It's playing in 3 festivals over the next, I don't know, for the rest of the year or something. I'm not going to any of them. Take it, throw it up, go, you know. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, fine. You know, it's, you know, your opinion means nothing to me now. I've survived this movie.
That's right. It's a survival thing.
Exactly. So, and it's, you know, you've experienced this too. It's whether people like your movie or not is really, at the end of the day, how do you feel about it? You know, you're always going to feel something could be done better or worse, but this is something you created. Whether anyone else appreciates it or not, or if it's around when the cockroaches inherit the earth, so be it. You can at least say that this is my footprint on the world. So,
yeah.
So a lot of our later movies I like better, but this was our first one, and this is the one we worked hardest on. So, if you like it or don't like it, I'm sorry.
So what is your latest thing? Because we tried to get you on a couple weeks ago, but you're out shooting. We missed each other.
Oh. The last year we took over a bowling alley for 2 weeks out in Tanning, PA, where they shot the Mothman Prophecies. Not in the bowling alley, just in the area. And we brought in Brink and Debbie, Brink Stevens, Debbie Rashawn, Lil Stabs, Robin Griggs, and Amy, and we put them up as the Demon Divas and the Lanes of Damnation, which was just our way of saying, hey, we have a bowling alley, let's make an 80s TNA horror comedy.
Yeah, sort of like Sorority Babes in the Slime Bowl Bowlerama.
Exactly. Actually, we were, you know, the initial thought was to actually remake Sorority Babes, but then I realized...
Well, Dave, you could talk to Dave Dakota.
I think at the time we were doing it, it was still under Retro Media.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then, I mean, just remaking something didn't really appeal to us anyway, so... we did that, and then we shot a little companion piece for it in a haunted house out here, just to round it out with a couple of the characters. So, that'll likely be out as soon as the short's finished editing. It'll be out in probably September. So that's our newest thing. It looks great. The bigger guys that did Under the Scares did all the camera work for it and all the lighting. It looks gorgeous. So whether it makes any sense or not is really not up to me anymore. But that's the latest thing. So you try to have one in the can and one in pre-production as you go along, because if you don't, then if you stop for a moment, you start to come to your senses. So there's no excuse for that. So you might as well just keep lugging along.
You know, that's kind of what happened to me. You know, the radio station happened, and it kind of brought me to my senses. I've not been able to do a movie since because I'm doing radio 24/7, but I've got like 3 scripts sitting here. I've got commitments from people. I've got parts for Pete in each movie, so I got to get one of these things put together here. And I was thinking maybe to pull a bunch of us together to do one of these, you know, like pull a bunch of, like, I know the remaining Polonia brother, God rest the soul of the other,
right.
he's been wanting to do something for a long time. You know, it's one of those things where you run into people along the way and you say, man, we got to work together sometime, but you never get to do it. And this is kind of what
no.
I was thinking, maybe this is the way that I could find a way to actually pull us together and maybe do it. So I got to start talking to everybody about that.
Yeah, we've been going back and forth on that too, and it seems like the climate now is to really do it, because any entertainment's such a crapshoot.
True.
The movie studios are bitching and whining. Print publishing is bitching and whining. They're all blaming the internet. Well, the internet isn't doing too badly in terms of web shows. I mean, even the smallest, worst-produced web show has a following. So if it's just a matter of getting it out in front of people, if you can afford to do it that way, then I don't see why anything should stop you.
Yeah, just lack of time.
lack of time and coming to your senses.
Yeah, I think I came to my senses, but now I'm missing it so much that I'm going to lose my senses again and get back to it.
You remember when we started and we didn't need to sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still there.
I don't know what happened there.
I'm still in that mode.
You?
Yeah, but Pete is always, I'm always giving him a hard time because he goes to bed at the crack of night.
And I fucking do not. There's a time zone difference, dude. You know, he'll call me up 3:00 in the morning. I got a great idea. Well, guess what? Fuck you. Bang. Bang.
Well, my thing is, I'm still going at, you know, when the sun's coming up, that's when I go to bed.
So. You know what it is? You can do this because you're an internet guy. I'm not. See, I got to be moving around. You see me at bars. You see me at the shows. I mean, I don't fucking sit anywhere. I'm always doing something. But, you know, sitting here working, my ass gets fucking sore and shit. And I'm like, I'm done.
That's true.
I'm throwing a fucking movie or read a book or some shit.
I get living exhausts me. So I like to get to bed early. I try to get to bed about 15, 20 minutes after I get up. That's usually as much as I'm up for a day. you're a better man than I am, Gunga Dean.
That's awesome.
Yes. You're gonna be premiering this new one up at Wasteland, or any chance, sir?
Well, we previewed it last October,
okay.
And it went over fairly well. The drunks who went in the see it seemed to like it, and. The DVD will likely premiere. Yeah, we'll likely unveil it at Wasteland in October again, because it's, for some reason, whatever we bring out at Wasteland tends to do really well for us during the course of the coming year. It's Ken and Pam's show really is really a good luck charm for us. So I try to schedule our releases around April or October. We try to have a book out or something in April and a movie in October, and it's working out pretty well for us. So. Again, none of us are getting rich off of it, but...
No, but you know, I love that show. I wouldn't give a shit if I didn't make a nickel there.
No, same here. We said that we'll keep our table there long after we retire. You can just cover us up at night. We don't care. Yeah.
I've already done that for you. Don't worry about that.
Well, you know, we all have our Wasteland stories, I guess.
Oh yeah! We go back before Wasteland. We actually met at the Chiller Theater that I actually quit for good at.
Yeah, we had a table right next to you where you did the announcements. I think.
Right,
and
right.
We were promoting Dr. Horror's Erotic House of Idiots.
Oh yeah, right. Right.
God.
And you gave me a dollar to put it over.
I'm sorry?
You gave me a dollar to put it over.
Yeah, I did. How did you spend that dollar? Did you invest it wisely?
Yeah, I'm smoking it right now.
Awesome. Okay, good.
It's the residuals I'm smoking. Yeah. Hey, if you can't spend it, you use it to roll something up, and it's that simple, you know?
Except out here. See, I can get meth or heroin, but weed is hard to come by. And I don't understand it. I don't want to do anything that's going to blow me up. So.
Yeah, true. Well, you know, if you got all that property out there, why don't you just grow some?
We've been thinking about it. I don't know if I have the right land for it. I know there's some that grows wild, but I wouldn't know the first thing about cultivating it.
It's a weed. It's a fucking weed. It just grows, you know. It grows anywhere. I mean, that's why we lost the war in Vietnam. The pot was too good.
Yeah, but don't you have to do something with it, like something hydroponic or make it organic or something? I'm still not the right person to talk to this.
I'm not either. I don't even know who is, because I hear all this stuff about running pipes and lights and 16 hours of sunlight, you know, and you know you have to make sure that the fertilizer's got elephant shit in it or some crap. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'd rather just, how much is it and how much do you have, you know?
Right. And that's the problem with me, is I'm so damn cheap, the only time I ever smoke it is when I'm either with you or at one of the shows. Because then I have the story factor. Hey, do you know who I just smoked a joint with right now? Wait till you hear this. So that always makes for a good story. And then I have to be reminded that I'm a journalist, and I can't tell these stories. So
sure you can.
Well, I can when I'm high, and I do.
I admit to this shit when I'm straight, which is, you know, usually during the sunlight hours, but after the sun goes down.
Yeah, but then if I do that, people stop calling me back. So it's hard to get interviews if you're outing people as smokers and drug addicts. I have a great one about somebody who tried to drop me down a broken elevator shaft, but I can't tell it live. Anyone who wants to hear that story, come up to me at one of these shows and buy me a drink, and I'll tell you who tried to drop me down an elevator shaft because he did an 8-ball right before he downed half a bottle of rum.
Oh, fuck, I know who it is.
It was your party.
It was my party?
It was the party, the room party that you and Roland had at Monster Mania, where I couldn't find Amy.
Oh, when she was sleeping on the couch.
But she was sleeping on the couch, and I was gone. But right before she passed out was the elevator incident, because they'd broken that. This must be the most boring radio story ever, because I can't name names, and it's just a yin joke between the two of us.
Oh, I can name names. I don't give it. Like
chewing
through. I'll tell you who. Does Leatherface ring a bell?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't Leatherface.
No.
No, no.
Wow.
He can make the sun rise and turn it into rain, and whatever that song is.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, holy shit, really? Ah, yeah, I can't say. Yeah. But the candy man can't.
He wasn't trying to get rid of me. He was just showing me how strong he was by lifting me up by one arm. Your TV producers are not going to like this if you murder me tonight. That wasn't any sense of don't drop Mike down an elevator shaft. It was just me reminding him he had work on Monday. So.
Yeah, I had somebody got in my face one night, like, you know, it's fucking big and bad. I don't go for that shit when you're playing that big and bad bullshit, and I'm just like, you know something, fuck you, and I walked away. It's like, give me shit.
Well, he was going to climb down the cable as high as he was, and I tried to stop him because I was drunk. And I thought, well, certainly I can stop this gentleman who's 9 times my size. And I grabbed onto his arm, and he lifted me up off the floor, and that's when Amy decided to say, hey, you have to work on Monday. Don't kill my husband.
Fuck. Monster Mania was getting out of hand with shit like that in generals at that party. That's the reason I wanted to get the hell out of there, too. Just getting, I don't know. Well, this macho shit isn't what I like to do, you know?
I don't have any posturing to go for, and quite frankly, I already know that I'm awesome, so I don't have to prove it.
Oh yeah, I've been beaten up by the best. I realize that, and that was years ago. So I have nothing left to prove. I can honestly say I've probably never won a real fight in my life, but I always inflicted some kind of damage. But I always got my fucking ass kicked in the long run anyway. So was it worth it? No, but yeah, that's why I don't do it. I don't have anything to prove. I'm old. I'm fucked up. I got a big mouth. Go ahead. You know?
Right. What are you going to prove by knocking my teeth in?
Yeah, I don't really have that money left to begin with.
I could loan you guys both my chainsaws, and then you guys could just go after them with those.
But I'm a small individual. I can barely lift a chainsaw. And plus, I'm completely tool retarded, so I wouldn't know how to start it. Can you imagine me doing a massacre? All right, everyone, hold on. Hold the positions. I'll get it. Anybody know anything about chainsaws? I'll make it quick. Yeah, it would be a disaster.
Yeah, because I remember you got the shit beat out of you in the Resurrection game.
Yes, mostly by Amy.
Yeah. I was sitting there. I'm just sitting there going, he's not going to go down for some reason.
Oh, yeah, the one fight towards the end of the movie between the two of us was very little of it was faked. I told her don't pull the punches, and she didn't. And it looks good. I learned I can still take a punch after graduating from Catholic school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I told somebody to do that and lay it in one time, and I regretted that whole deal.
Yes, I do not do my own stunts anymore. I will bring in some. I don't care. I'll bring in 54-year-old black jazz musician to play my part for that moment if it means not taking a punch. So call me a wuss if you will, but that's, you know, if I'm the director and the producer, I have that power.
That's right.
You ever take hits in your movie?
Well, I don't really get in front of the camera that much, but when I did one time, it was in Zombie Bloodbath, the first one. The guy that was going to play the zombie that attacked the kids from the stairwell didn't show up. I had to do it, and they were using a claw hammer, and I had a fake chest, but the claw hammer went through the fake chest, and I found some interesting marks. Because let me tell you, a claw hammer will penetrate skin, especially when coming at you full force. But I tell you, I was kind of proud of the fact that I didn't go down. I stayed up. And then I thought to myself, you should have went down, fool. Now you have like 14 gouges in your chest.
Right. There's nothing wrong with your rib, though, so everything's fine. we will make prop weapons when it comes to something like that. I have a lot of really talented effects guys, so if I need a bat, I'm going to have somebody make a bat. I'm not going to show up, or, you know, or a knife or a machete or something. We don't like to have the real stuff around because, quite frankly, as you know, no matter how well you screen your extras, there's always going to be the one dope that's going to run around with it.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, you know, when you have even a little bit of money, you could do that, but we had like $11.95 left, so it was like, all right, just hit me with the damn hammer.
Well, actually, what's interesting is I've learned in the 13 years that we've been doing this, you don't have to have a lot of money or even any money. You just have to be able to talk your way in and out of situations. Like, if you can convince somebody that you are somebody already, they're willing and able to come on board because they think you have coattails to ride. So you can get interns with air quotes like that a lot, too. You know, special effects school students are all over the place. Find one that doesn't seem like he's, you know, halfway in the grave anyway. You can, you know, hey, you want to come over and intern for us? We'll feed you. Usually the we'll feed you part is the selling point.
That's awesome.
So, yes, none of us have any money, so you really have to con, beg, borrow, steal.
Yeah, that's exactly short of
murder.
It.
Murder. Yeah. Who was?
Then they wonder why we do it.
Who's the New York guy who just got sent up for embezzling from his job?
I don't know. I didn't hear this one. What happened?
The hell's the guy's name? David Williams. He just, and I remember him from the Chiller days, too. I think he's in upstate New York. He was using corporate credit cards, the company he worked for, not his company, the company he worked for. He was using a corporate card that was supposed to be used for gas and expenses and things. He was using it to fund independent movies. And they caught him because he went something like $250,000 into it. I don't know if that's dedication to your work or just getting greedy. I haven't made up my mind about it yet.
Or just duh.
Part of me thinks it's brilliant, but
how would these people would be dumb enough to think this guy used $250,000 worth of gas and hotels in a year?
Oh, it was over the course of 2 or 3 years. Huh. No one was saying, and I know from working in corporate America that these things do get caught on after a while, but it takes a certain amount of time. And there's more than enough time to cover your tracks when you're doing that, so I don't know. But part of me really admires his dedication to it, for ripping off his company for it. I don't recommend that's the way you go.
No.
At least he did have the foresight to have a job, a day job. You know, so that, you know, you meet a lot of guys who don't. So.
True enough.
It's a crazy shit.
That is, that's nuts.
Well, I always subscribe to the theory, if you're going to do something, do it once, then don't ever do it again. You know?
You mean making films or just...
No, I mean, if you're going to do something dishonest, do it once and just don't ever do it again, because that's how you get caught. If you get away with it once, just, you know...
If you do get away with it, because it's not something you need to practice at, because it's just dumb luck that you survive it.
Yeah.
Like suicide, just try it once. And I recommend that.
You don't like it, you won't have to do it again.
A lot of people.
If you don't like it, you won't have to do it again. Sick. Fucking morose turn this conversation has gone to.
That is awesome.
You know what they say, life isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
So.
I can think of a handful. We need to send them a handbook on how to for that subject. Well,
oh, please.
Oh.
We'd make terrible suicide hotline.
I know.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Let me put you on hold, then play Jim Carroll, all the people who died.
That's a little too upbeat. I played the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Which is sort of like the man's version of the love story theme or something like that. I don't know any man who doesn't start to tear up, especially when they get to the part where the cook comes in and says, "Sorry, boys, it's too rough to feed you." And, "Oh, they died hungry. What a horrible world we live in." No? Okay, fine.
That's We were trying to rewrite the Edmund Fitzgerald as the Edmund Fitzwillie or something. It was like this dredger that hit the Lincoln Tunnel going down the Hudson River, and, you know, we opened it up with, and the captain, what the fuck was the deal? I can't remember now. I just went blank. It was something fucking stupid or something. And the captain was surrounded by 8 cases of beer, all of them empty except for the one in his hand. And then there's, like, you know, Death Tunnel 1978. Yeah. I actually wish I had a tape recorder back then and kept it on. We were driving around thinking of all this fucked up shit, because I probably would have been a millionaire by now.
I actually admire, like, Darwin cases like that. I always think, you know, every one of us makes stupid mistakes. Some of us make stupid mistakes on pretty much an hourly basis. But if you're going to fuck up, do it big. Go out like the guy who did the Exxon Valdez or
yeah, right. Get him a shitter on and ground an oil tanker in Alaska.
Right. Yeah. Or the guy says, you know what? We don't need that safety valve. You know, this rig's never exploded before.
Yeah.
You know, if that's going to be your memory, if you can't do something awesome, then do something so amazingly stupid that it's legendary. Hmm. I mean, if you're going to fuck up, do it right. You know, aspire to that. You know, wouldn't you just like to be the guy who accidentally sat on the button that launched nuclear bombs?
Oh, and, shit!
You know, it's hard to recover from that.
I know. I don't actually think, honestly, you could top that. You know?
No. You can't say "and for my next trick." You know, you survive it somehow. But that's
I had a T-shirt with the world's 10 or 12 greatest fucks on them, or something like that. Quote, where's all that fucking water coming from? Tapping a Titanic. There's a lot of fucking Indians out there, General Custer.
Right.
Oh, shit. There was a bunch of stuff. I can't remember.
Hey, Pete, they should add Sarah Palin to that shirt that says, "Hey, it's perfectly safe to drill this close to land."
Right.
Well, that woman needs her pussy drilled and not by me.
Well, she has 4 kids, so at least somebody did it 4 times.
Yeah, probably one right after the other.
I think it was a devil.
She was probably reading a book or eating an apple when it happened.
I work in an engineering firm, so there are nothing but middle class white guys where I work, and all of them think she's hot. I you know what? She could have, I don't know, main, you know, Jenna Jameson's body. And Michelle Pfeiffer's head, and I still wouldn't want to do her because she opens her mouth and dumb comes out. So
yeah, at least
hot isn't enough for me. She has to be not dangerous, for one thing.
They made a porn with a look with her with a lookalike.
Oh.
Nailing Palin. I swear to God, Larry Flint made it. They had a casting call. I'm trying to think. Oh, God, it's some chick named Lisa Marie did it, I think. Nina Hartley played Hillary Clinton.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Somebody asked me if I wanted one. I go, no, not really. I can't watch today's porn. But Nina Hartley's still hot for like a 70-year-old broad or whatever she is.
Really?
No,
she is not 70? Or is it just porn years?
I'm not sure. Her body still looks great, but she's got, you know, the little old lady's head now, you know?
You know, you just scared
I should talk. I'm such a, you know, fucking, you know, suave and handsome rogue.
Oh, don't put yourself down. You could easily have a porn body.
I did at one point. I did at one point. I was actually buff for a while.
Oh, okay.
I was buff for a good... Oh, about 5 years, then, you know, fucking beer and the weed kicked in again. So, you know, occupational hazards.
25 minutes.
What happened?
I was good for about 25 minutes. I had a really good 25 minutes, like a good short weekend back in the early 90s.
Okay.
Probably right after graduation. So. But then you know, life kicked in. And I realized, you know what, I didn't feel like eating a salad or walking today. I'm going to park my ass on the couch, watch a movie, and eat this bag of chips.
That is funny.
Well, you should.
You know, you make these life choices.
Yeah, really.
So, it was either that or go gay. And there's no one else home. So.
Yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere there, too.
Am I being entertaining to anyone but myself? Because I find me...
I'm amused. I mean, you know... Okay. This show has taken several drastic U-turns over the course of a year. You know, we had the Prophet Muhammad on one time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was he in a bear suit, or did you actually have him on?
No. He's a friend of mine. He's actually a good customer too.
Oh, and the Prophet Muhammad?
Okay. Yeah, he came over. You know, Todd doubted I would have him on. He came over. He did his thing, and then you know, right after we went off the air, the car bomber hit Times Square.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, I was completely there, fucked up. I swear to God,
guy who knows how to screw up. I mean, we have to give him amazing... He left his house keys in his ignition. I mean, you cannot screw up worse than that if you're a terrorist. It's like a kamikaze pilot who keeps coming back. World's worst suicide bomber.
Yeah. The Molarian Curly of the terrorists.
But I want to admire suicide bombers. I want to admire believing in something so deeply that you would go out and kill yourself and countless others for it. Because when I do it, it just feels sort of hollow. I don't really believe it. I just feel like doing it. But it's not for any purpose, just because there's nothing good on TV.
Yeah, you want to hear something fucked up? Somebody sent me this. If you take a can of Coke and pour it in a bowl and you lay a steak in the bowl, in a couple hours or something like that, or maybe a day, the steak won't be there anymore. We're drinking this shit? Fuck no.
I'm drinking cream soda. I don't know what you're drinking.
Drink an iced tea.
Now, my question is: are they saying that the Coke is dissolving the steak?
Yeah.
Okay. Who would think?
Well, there was something they linked heavy soda users to having like problems with their bones.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's linked to the carbonation. There's a lot of extra carbonation in some drinks because they put extra carbonation, so they don't have to give you syrup.
Oh, all right. My question is though: who would think to put a steak in it? I mean, who?
I don't know. Somebody just sent me all these like nasty things about Coca-Cola.
Well, you know, there's some scientists somewhere going, you know, I don't know if I want to drink the rest of this. Let's put my steak in it.
That just sounds like a bad episode of Iron Chef.
You know, maybe I should do this if I can afford a steak, that is. Then why, if I can afford a steak? No, a Chuck steak. Chuck steaks are shitty and cheap, aren't they?
I don't know. If I have a steak in front of me, I'm going to eat it.
I was going to say, Pete, in your neighborhood, if you put a steak in a dish, it may not be there just because it's in your neighborhood.
Right. Oh, keep it in the house. I'm not going to put it out on the front porch or anything like that.
What part of the city is Bensonhurst in, by the way?
Who told you that? Another urban legend. Oh, don't say anything then. Let's let it ride.
Well, yeah. Okay. Pete's grown up in one place or another all over the world.
Yeah, I was abandoned all over the place. They keep kicking me back.
Well,
when I was a child, I was actually abandoned in an exact change thing in the Garden State Parkway, and part of my mental problems stemmed from being pelted with quarters for hours until the state police rescued me and threw me in an orphanage.
The only reason I ask is when the last time we saw you was the first time we'd ever been to Brooklyn for any length of time, and apparently we stayed in the auto body repair shop section of Brooklyn. I didn't.
Yes, we would repair your bumper while you sleep in suite 917, please. Thank you. Take these bags, you piece of shit, you. Yeah.
There was an auto body parts store there's three or four per block, I think, and they were all run by different ethnic groups.
Well, they had to be, because when you wake up and you're missing that part, you don't have to go so far to get it.
That's what we were thinking, actually, parking on the side of the road.
Yeah, so, exactly.
We were right in front of the motel. We figured we could at least watch the car being stripped. If we had
better a car being stripped than some of the people in the neighborhood. So
I'm laughing. I know somebody that happened to.
Watching a car being stripped?
He was sleeping in the front seat, and he felt his car getting jacked up, and he gets out of the car. And this guy's trying to steal his tires. He goes, "Oh, it's okay. I just want the tires. You can have the battery." Yeah. They were ballsy, but I don't know how they are now. They were ballsy back then. I always made it a point to try to drive a car that nobody would want to steal in the first place.
Yeah, I make that a habit of too. I have a gold Caliber right now that I didn't even want to buy, but no one wants to steal it, that's for sure. We leave the keys in it. We leave it running. It's nothing. It's still there.
Being horror filmmakers, all you got to do is stick an appendage out the trunk, a bloody arm, leg, foot, whatever you got, and that usually helps too.
Hey, but you know, with kind of the crowd that we run in, that would just entice people to actually...
Yeah, they want to steal the fucking car.
Actually, they leave the car and they steal the prop.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, what did you think of Under the Scares?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was really well put together. I was amazed at how much screen time our stuff was given. Although I think they were using a lot of our stuff ironically, which. But, you know, never use your family. Here's a clip from the Resurrection game where family.
Yeah, I like that. I think I was in there just to offset everybody else's serious tone with my little insanity.
Well, there wasn't enough of me personally, because I was giving them gold and they left me towards the end, and it was depressing. Amy got much more screen time than I did, and I'm not saying Amy wasn't brilliant, but I'm easy on the eyes too. ladies like to see a little of this occasionally, and then, they were just shooting it for the wrong audience, as far as I'm concerned. So I thought it was well put together. I hope it'll make them billions of dollars.
I told them to send Ken a copy.
Yeah, definitely.
At least a couple thousand.
Ken would enjoy it. He knows everyone in it.
Yeah, I know. Plus, four of us are going to be there anyway.
Right.
Yeah. We could sign it. For the autograph whores.
Yeah, you sign that one card. I'm always amazed when people ask for my autograph, though. I always think that they think I'm somebody else. Yeah. I have a little sign on my table that says, "Not the bassist."
Yeah. It is weird, and whenever they ask me, I always go, "Man, I have no problem signing this, but you just dropped the value of the thing by about $10.
You could have taken this to the exchange and gotten your money back.
Yeah, I had somebody think I was Steve Bissette, and he goes, I was walking around with this was like the real early days of Chiller. When I don't even know if it was Chiller then, maybe Horrorthon or something. But I was walking around with Vivian Schilling, and this guy walked up and goes, "Can I have your autograph?" And she autographs, and he goes, "Well, would you sign my book?" And I'm like, "Well, who the fuck am I?" Right? This is before I even had the gimmick going on. So I just wrote my name on it. And he goes, "You're not Steve Bissette?" And I said, "Never said I was." He goes, "You just ruined my book." I'm like, "Fucking sorry."
That is awesome.
Yeah, I look a lot like I don't know.
I like the outrage too. It's your fault.
Yeah,
I mistook you for somebody.
Yeah, I had no fucking clue. I'm like, "Hey, you want me to sign it? Who the fuck?" Because I wasn't really. I was just Pete fucking security guy.
No, I know Steve, and I can't see me mistaking either one of you for the other one.
No, at one point we did look. I was wearing the same hat he was, and he had the full beard, and I had the full beard, and I was a lot redder than I am now. So yeah.
Okay. All right. But still, I like that they turned it around on you. You're the asshole for allowing yourself to be mistaken for Steve Bissette.
That's right.
You should have immediately gotten plastic surgery.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll get cloned later.
That's awesome. I want to mistake you for like a martial arts ex. I'm going to mistake you for Jean-Claude Van Damme at the next Cinema Wasteland.
I look a lot like George Carlin, probably a lot look like he looks now, dead.
That's not even right.
I think you look slightly better than George does now.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's taking much better care of himself, though, admittedly.
Yes. He's taking out to get a lot of rest very seriously.
Jeez.
Yeah, we have no fucking mercy. I think I had a David Carradine joke like 2 days after he died, you know?
I got to finally tell my David Carradine story now that he's dead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. When we first started and you saw the Resurrection Game, I was clean shaven and I had long hair and everything was great. The second or third chiller, the one where we were stuck out in the tent outside. Sunday morning, I'm out standing in line to buy $4 worth of orange juice and an $8 bagel. And somebody comes up and grabs my ass and says, "Hey, baby, where were you at the party last night?" And I turn around and again, it's Carradine, and he's mad at me because he was and he starts cussing me out there in the middle of the quad. So, "Why don't you get a haircut?" I'm like, "Why are you grabbing my ass?" I'm sorry I made you doubt your manhood right there as I'm waiting in line to pay for my orange juice, but you could be a little more polite. And that's my David Carradine story. So that's why I grew the goatee, too, so that people like David would not mistake me for a woman.
He was probably half shit-faced anyway. I don't think I ever saw the guy sober in any of those shows.
It was 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday, so I'm sure he was at least a quart in.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are wrong, man.
No, I'm serious, dude. You never hung with him. He could drink. He was fucking shit-faced. I mean, one time, the douchebag promoter called me up to his room to give him something. Fucking weird shit, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, this is the killer part. You know, a lot of these people are like golden idols to certain people. But, you know, once you work with them, you know, and then you find out, like, you know, for the most part, 90% of them are really good, but then you got that 10% that are real complete douchebags.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had any really awful experiences with everyone. I have these funny, bizarre things. Like, I didn't try to deck him because he would have killed me. But, you know, that's not even an unpleasant David Carradine story. That's just sort of, that's the funny. I can tell this now because, you know, no, I don't think Keith or Robert are going to show up at my door for disparaging his name. You know, they were... I liked when the family was mad that people were saying that he committed suicide because it was much more honorable to have gone out with autoerotic asphyxiation. Don't put that out. I killed myself, okay? I offed myself, and I had to use my belt, so that's why my pants were down, okay?
You know something? You would want... You know, if I died doing something that stupid, I would expect no mercy either. I would want you guys to rip me into asshole, you know? No, I already had that done this week. That ladies and gentlemen, that is not a work that I posted on Facebook. I did have intensive rectal surgery Tuesday. They severed the nerve that connects your anus to your eyeball. Now that eliminated my shitty outlook on life, so I'm pretty good right now. But no, the bottom line is I had a huge, nasty hemorrhoid. I called him Kevin, and he had to go. So that's what they took care of. So my butt is sore this evening.
I call the hemorrhoid I have Megan Fox, and it hasn't gone away yet. It's still in movies.
Oh, thank God. You're the other one who can't stand her.
God, piece of cardboard shit.
I was starting to think I was the only one.
God. Ruins everything she touches.
I don't even know who she is. I'm not up on current events, let's put it that way, because I don't give a shit anymore. It just comes down to that.
You would have to subscribe to, I believe, Mannequin Monthly to see her, because she's a piece of statue.
I like skinny. I don't know.
They put peanut butter on the roof of her mouth to get her to do her lines in Jonah Hex.
Dude.
At least she got the words out, at least.
Yeah, but she was still... Did you notice the weird thing about Jonah Hex, man? They went in and airbrushed her digitally. What was that about?
Really?
That was strange.
I didn't notice. Most of the time when she came on, my brain started going other places.
Well, of course. You just wanted to run.
I started doing my taxes. I started thinking about my grocery list, anything to keep that squawk that, you know, she's doing that Jeff Foxworthy imitation all the way through the film.
You know what, though? If they would have just left that movie alone, I can't believe... I like the movie for what it is, and I can't believe how badly they cut it, and I'm really mad, because not only did they cut the movie like we're too retarded to know what we like, but then we got to deal with Megan Fox on top of it, and if they were going to censor anything that offended me, they could have censored her.
Right. What did they cut out of it? I mean, I noticed that there were big chunks of the movie missing, but
even parts where the music just like cut. It was like jumping the cue. You know, it's bad when they don't even care enough to like sync up the music anymore.
Oh shit! This is, in other words, don't even pay to go see it. Just wait till somebody's selling a bootleg of it at the flea market.
Get it on DVD after the director's cut comes out, because man, there's literally no joke. There's this big galloping soundtrack that suddenly cuts into some kind of a mellow like ballad. I don't know what the hell they were doing. It was like, what in the hell?
I spent the first half hour realizing that there were multiple flashbacks for a character we haven't actually met yet.
Exactly.
So I did think that was interesting.
Yeah. It's weird.
And the villain decided that in the Civil War time he was going to put the guns of Navarone onto a boat and build the Death Star. I kind of appreciated that.
I did too.
John Malkovich's character, he links this enormous cannon to Eli Whitney, the inventor of the cotton gin.
That just sounds fucking funny.
Mounted on an ironside boat or an ironclad in the middle of the Potomac, because this movie and the America that this movie takes place is only one state.
That's
right. You can get from the middle of nowhere to Washington D.C. by taking four steps forward, but he mounts these gigantic cannons on there that fire enormous cannonballs and then a special cannonball that ignites them all. And it was just like, this is the Guns of Navarone meets the Death Star in the Old West, and I'm enjoying it because I got free passes.
Well, and the fact that you're right, Tombstone, they're like in Tombstone, Arizona one minute, you know, doing the whole OK Corral blowout, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, we're in Washington, and it took us 3.5 seconds to get here. It's like somewhere along the line they called Scotty and said, Scotty, do us a favor with that transporter of yours.
They were able to teleport from one end of the West to another.
Including the horses, it was great.
I did enjoy it for the fact that I just spent a lot of this movie going, I have no idea what's going on.
Things
are happening.
Josh Brolin's chewing scenery, we don't know. As long as we can see him chew up stuff and blow up lots of stuff, it's all right.
You're making me want to get baked and go see this. You know this.
I've seen enough movies like that I've decided I want my own magic black guy. I want the guy who... And it has to be some ethnicity character. He can't be the lead, but he has to be somebody who aids. Like,
dude, when you looked at her, you have to admit there was something really inhuman about. Now, Pete, imagine if you will, you know, the Tex Avery cartoons with the hourglass women. This chick is for real.
What the hell did I? And somebody said that if she were shot in 3D, she would still only make it as far as Flatland.
Yeah.
She's so plastic and generic looking, and just.
And her waist is literally like 2 inches around. I swear to you, if you want to buy the girl a belt, get her a bracelet. There's something really wrong.
I don't. I look for the concentration camp numbers on her wrist personally. But that's not my thing.
Good. Maybe I should just dedicate one show. Let you guys just come on and bash Megan Fox. I don't even give a shit who she is. You know.
Sorry, Pete, you can have your show back. It is about that time anyway, so.
Okay, you're kicking me off now.
I'll give him his show back.
Give me my show back. Well, this has been another weird rambling show, and I want to thank Mike Watt for joining us. Maybe next time we can wake up Amy so she can contribute something to this, but we want to thank you for coming
actually,
on.
I think you should dedicate an hour to her just as well. She can bash Megan Fox as well as either of us can.
Oh, good.
You guys have a three-way, and I'll go to the titty bar around the corner, okay?
You'll pick up another couple.
Yeah.
Say hello to your girls.
Oh, I will. I will. They'll be coming up to Wasteland again.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, we used to do a photo shoot for one of my DVD releases, a very tasteful nudie thing, and they were coming off like, what do you see these shots do? They're like, they stepped up a glamour magazine in the 50s.
Okay.
Really proud of them. All right, on that happy note, we're going to end this thing. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you very much, guys, and have a good night.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
Yeah, speaking of my girls, we're talking with Mike, and yeah, that is true. I got them in Victor's movie. Anyway, they did really well on that, and I wanted to get them on one of my DVDs that wasn't going to be fucking shitty hardcore or nasty or something, you know, that they would be embarrassed being seen on. So I have this really classy nude collection that I dug out, and I got them to come up to the studio. Mike did all the photography. We did a lot of shoots, different things, different outfits, all, you know, 50s glam type stuff. And when this gets done, you're going to think they step right out of a 50s pinup magazine. They really look good.
That's awesome.
probably have the stuff up. Probably, hopefully, have the DVD out by Wasteland.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's going to work. And not to end things on a sad note, but I wanted to see if I could have cut this in last week with, you know, the girls, but we were running late. We had just found out prior to airing last week that wrestler East Coast standout Trent Acid was found dead a few days ago in his home. Trent was under 30 years old. He'd been wrestling actually professionally for 15 years. He had been in Japan, Germany. He was all over the East Coast Combat Zone. Jersey All Pro, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, all these places. I mean, he would East Coast all the way. Unfortunately, Trent, like a lot of us, had some demons he had to face, and a lot of his friends tried to help him out. But sometimes, you know, mentally, you get in a situation where, you know, you can't be helped, unfortunately. And I don't know the details surrounding what happened. All I know is just a shame. He should have been in one of the big three when they were going on ECW, WWE, or WCW. But unfortunately, he's no longer with us, and we condolences to his friends, family, and, you know, God bless. And that's all we got. So I don't know what we're going to do next week. We're hitting, next week is what, 4th of July?
Yeah, we're getting close.
Yeah. So nobody will be listening. You'll all be out fucking barbecuing and shit. So maybe we won't do anything. I don't know. Maybe I'll surprise you, but... Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank the girls from last week. We will have next week, we will give the results from this Saturday's big event in Union City. So until then, stay sick.
Forty-Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4. Oh. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to die.
Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not.
not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit.
What you gotta do?
People equal shit.
I'm not afraid of you.
People equal shit.
Everything you'll ever be.
People equal shit.